I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and today we have Melanie Cutting in the booth with us, and she's going to give us a movie review with her show At the Movies with Mel. So welcome, Melanie.
Well, thank you very much. A beautiful day.
It is.
Neither of us should be inside, but here we are. So this week I went to see not one but two movies, and one of them is called The Greatest Showman.
Oh, okay.
With a good cast, and one that it has been at the Maison de Cinema in English, and strangely enough, only English, for weeks. So we were a little, we thought, this can't last forever, and we were pretty interested in seeing the movie, so we just bit the bullet. And there were other people in the theater. I thought we're going to have every seat to ourselves, but that wasn't the case. So we did get there. It is still there in English this week at 5:10. So if you want to catch a movie and then have dinner afterwards, that's a great time. And it doesn't say that it's on its way out, which is interesting. So it may still be around. And Hugh Jackman, as I mentioned in previous shows, is the star, and he portrays P.T. Barnum, Phineas something Barnum. And his wife is played by a very good American actress named Michelle Williams. The interesting thing that we weren't totally aware of when we went to see it is that it's a musical. It is one of these movies that you don't see much of anymore, where the main characters and the other people in the movie will simply burst into song at a moment's notice.
It is unusual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me a little bit of the La La Land, which was also essentially a musical where people were, you know, doing regular things, and there was a story, but there was a lot of musical numbers, you know, something, you know, big, typically like big format musical numbers. So this is much the same, except of course La La Land was present time, and this goes back to the 19th century,
okay,
when P.T. Barnum was kind of just getting up and running as a showman. And people probably have some idea about who he is and what he did, but he started a circus. He was in New York, and very, very ambitious, very keen to make his name in the world. He grew up very poor and felt that he had far more to offer than he was able to. So he found ways to make money and put his dreams of having a show into reality. We came away thinking, well, this was fun. And some of the big production numbers having to do with the circus itself, circus performers, and so on, were quite fun, and we happen to be big Cirque du Soleil fans, so there was at least one wonderful song and dance number which reminded us very much of Cirque du Soleil. I don't know how much longer it's going to be there. I'm astonished that it's still there, but if you like musicals and if you like Hugh Jackman and Michelle Williams, and you're interested in seeing kind of a not terribly true to life but still very entertaining story about P.T. Barnum's early days and how he fared in show business later on. His downfall seemed to be getting involved with a singer, a Swedish singer who was the toast of Europe, named Jenny Lind. And he said, basically he said, well, I can do even better if I attach my wagon to this particular star. But that did not work out terribly well. But being incredibly resourceful, he found ways around that, and he made a go of his shows. My husband and I both thought this was kind of whitewashed, because there was a lot of information about his bringing together people commonly known as freaks, the bearded lady and the world's tallest man and the world's fattest man and all that kind of stuff. But the movie made it appear as if, yes, it was a way for him to make money because people were interested in seeing this. And this is how his circus got started. It wasn't even a circus at first. It was just a part of a show in a single building. But our sense was, I think they're hiding a few things here, because I think that he basically saw, yes, this was a great way to make money. And the fact that they were depicted as people that he liked and respected and was basically helping them out by giving them a trade, we were a little dubious about that, about the reality of that. But if you like musicals, if you like Hugh Jackman, it was good fun. And it I guess it's going to be there for another week, because it doesn't say that it's on its way out. So you can still catch The Greatest Showman.
Good.
The other movie that we did see, and it is there, and I suspect it will be there for quite a while, because it was fairly new. It was new not this past week, but I believe the week before. It's called I, Tanya, about the disgraced figure skater Tanya Harding, who back in 1994, around the time of the Lillehammer Olympics, was a contender, and her ex-husband, I guess it was her husband at the time, and his dumber-than-dirt friend decided it would be a good idea to help take care of the competition by taking out Nancy Kerrigan's knee. So they did that. I don't know how many of you remember, this goes back quite a ways now, but it was big news, and it was huge. Poor Tanya was the person who, even though, again, according to the film, you can always say, well, that was just in the movie, but according to the film, she really didn't know anything about this, and she certainly didn't approve it, and she didn't say, go ahead and do this, but she ended up being banned from ice skating forever. Mm. And the people who were truly involved, like her ex-husband and his friend, her so-called bodyguard, were they had the equivalent of a slap on the wrist for this, and she just got thrown out of not just her career, it was her whole life. And the movie begins when she's little. She's 3 years old, and her incredibly overbearing mother takes her to a skating rink to meet with a well-known, well-respected skating coach. And the skating coach looks at her and says, how old is she? And she said, well, she's a soft 4, meaning she was actually only 3 at the time, but an incredibly good skater. And despite her kind of impoverished, really kind of lower working class background, she managed to, I think as a result of her mother basically putting all her money into skating lessons and so on, she managed to do incredibly well. And she had one particular move, I think called a triple axel, which almost virtually no one had done, or certainly no American woman had done this, and she just did it many times over and over. So she was quite a special skater, and she defied all the stereotypes of what a figure skater should look like and act like and sound like. She, for those of you who are truly offended by the F-bomb, there's a lot of that. So just to let you know that that's just Pepper's, her speech and her mother's speech and her husband's speech and so on. But the story itself is really compelling. And the acting, notably Margot Robbie, who plays Tanya Harding, and her mother, who is played by a wonderful actress named Allison Janney. Both of them have been nominated for big awards and have won big awards already in terms of best female actress, best supporting, all these wonderful awards that they've been nominated for. And I came away from the movie thinking, I would absolutely vote if I had a vote for the Academy Awards, she would get my vote. Tanya, the Margot Robbie who plays Tanya Harding, and the actress who plays her mom. But it's a little hard to watch in a way because the mom is so mean. She just comes across as very mean, but she has all kinds of reasons why she's mean and how her being mean and unpleasant and abusive, really abusive, with Tanya has led to Tanya's success in the figure skating world. And maybe there is a case to be made for that, but it was a little bit hard to watch. However, it is a very, very entertaining movie, and it's done in a kind of a documentary style, but I think it's what they would call a mockumentary. But certainly, you know, all true. And periodically, they would bring the action to not Tanya from the way back, but Tanya in the present day. And she'd be talking, and it wouldn't be the real her, but mm-hmm. but it'd be the actress talking about her life, and her ex-husband talking about his life and how he really, oh, that never really happened, but kind of really did happen. And then at the very end of the movie, and I don't usually give away very endings, except the very end of the movie, they have a clip of the actual Tanya Harding doing her actual incredibly impressive performance on ice, which was, there had been a snippet of it in the film. But this was the real deal. This was Tanya Harding on the ice, and it was the full performance, which was like maybe 5 or 6 minutes, I forget. And she was amazing. She was truly amazing. So anyway, you come away thinking, what a shame that this happened, and could it have been prevented, and could she have been punished, but not quite so severely. But definitely worth seeing, to see the performances, to just look a little look back at figure skating history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sounds well done. A little sad, but definitely well done.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would accept people who are mm-hmm. unhappy with the F word. Then you won't like it. Okay. What's still at the Maison de Cinéma is Call Me by Your Name in English. And again, that's been getting super duper reviews and all kinds of award talk around that movie. I have not seen it. Jumanji, again, surprise, surprise, is still there. It is likely to be the one that I see later today.
Okay.
We had a choice between Jumanji and The Shape of Water, and opted for something a bit frivolous like Jumanji, and we'll save The Shape of Water, which is, I think, a bit more of a challenge and a bit more, what's the word? A bit stranger. Mm-hmm. So we will see that, but probably not this afternoon. And then I can talk about it another time. Another movie which is there, and I don't know if I mentioned it the last time or not, is it's one of the Maze Runner series of movies. This one is called Death Cure. I haven't seen it, and I'm not likely to see it. I think the target audience for this film is young adults and people who are familiar with the Maze Runner series, and people who like to watch other people of their age but set in the future doing fantastical things. But not one that I'm likely to see, but certainly if you are in that age bracket and are interested in this kind of movie, by all means, it's in English. Another movie which has just opened up this week, getting again all kinds of good buzz in terms of awards, is called Lady Bird. And this is a young woman coming of age story set in California, and it's again, you have the the principal and the actress who plays her mom are both nominated for big awards, big acting awards. And the person who plays the young woman named, who has named herself Lady Bird, is Irish actress, born in the U.S., but grew up in Dublin, and she's been in many things, and she's always good. She's a young woman, but she's terrific. And her last name is Ronan, and her first name is, I will make a stab, it's Searse, S-A-I-O-R-S-E. I've never been sure how to pronounce that. It's an Irish name, but she's terrific. And the woman who made the film, and it's, I think, largely autobiographical, is an actress by the name of Greta Gerwig. And she, too, she does some somewhat oddball movies, but she's extremely well-respected. And probably a movie that I'm not entirely sure men would be that interested. I know my husband is not. It's the kind of movie that you might want to, you know, gather a few of your women friends together and take it in. And again, I'm sure it's a terrific movie with wonderful performances, kind of low-key. It's certainly no big special effects to dazzle you, but a good, solid story with good, solid performances. Let's see. Finally, some other movies that are still there and which I've seen and spoken of. The Phantom Thread. Very interesting, a bit challenging. Not. It doesn't hit you in the face with what it's trying to say and do. The Post, which I really enjoyed. Just a blast from the past in terms of the whole situation around the Pentagon Papers and the Washington Post, and of course Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks and the supporting actors are all terrific. Finally, we have For the Shape of Water, which again I probably won't see it today, but maybe. And if I don't see it today, I'll see it later on in the week. That one will likely be there for a while, but not terribly long. But often when movies are on their way out at the Maison de Cinema, there's something on the website that says last chance.
Okay, that's good to know.
But it doesn't say that on any of the movies. So just let's hope that the movies will still be there, still in English, and still at times that are convenient for most people. And finally, there is another movie in French, although it's an English movie. English language movie called Winchester, and it's about the woman who was the widow of the inventor of the Winchester rifle, which of course became a huge gun company. And Helen Mirren plays Mrs. Winchester, who lives in a kind of a haunted house. Haven't seen this movie. It's only just begun, and at the moment it's only in French. I think it will pop up in English. Sometimes that happens. It starts off in French, and then they bring in the English version a little bit later. I think this one will end up being in English. So I would say it's a kind of a psychological horror story with the terrific Helen Mirren as Mrs. Winchester. So I will talk when I am here again, talk about the movies that I will be seeing this week. Jumanji and perhaps The Shape of Water and maybe even Lady Bird. But a reminder again, if you see a movie that looks like one you'd like to see, don't wait too long to see it, because as wonderful as La Maison de Cinema is, they kind of make a practice of taking movies that are there in both languages, and they end up being only in French. So you would have missed your chance to see it in English, and also sometimes the times change, and they're just at very inconvenient times. So if you see a movie that interests you, go see it. They have an excellent website, lamaisondecinema.com. Anything you want to know about the movies that are there now, movies that are coming, movies that are going, just general information about films, it's all on the website. And if you are concerned about cost, again, the cost is minimal. You can buy eight movie passes at $56, so it's $7 a shot. They never expire. You can use them all at once. You can use them one at a time. You can give them to your friends as gifts, which I frequently do. And it gets you into the movies for $7 a movie. It's hard to beat that, but you can beat it actually if you're a student. And then there are some student prices that are, in fact, even better than that.
Good to know. Cheap entertainment.
Cheap entertainment. Yep. So next time, some other movies that I will have seen.
Okay, well, thank you very much, everybody should definitely make an effort to go to the movies.
Make a point. The more people who show up and say, thank you so much for having English movies available, and at the moment there are nine.
That's amazing.
Nine English movies there, mm-hmm. I think it will encourage them to continue doing that. They know that there's people out there whose first language is English, and mm-hmm. they enjoy seeing movies that are made in English, but... I think, moreover, there seem to be a number of, well, quite a few people who are francophone, but whose English is just fine, and they too would like to see movies made in English, in the original English.
Good. Well, we thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care.